Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, welcome to Survivor Jobs, a podcast in collaboration with Broadway World. I am Jason A. Coombs, and this is my wonderful, beautiful, talented co-host, Samantha Dawn Titolo. And we're back after our mid-season, little hiatus.
Happy 2023. We are back. Happy 2023,
Happy 2023. Wow, 2023, Samantha.
Crazy.
That's insane to say.
That means we have known each other, you and I, for over 10 years.
Yeah,
over Hold on.
12 years, over 13.
15.
Well, not 15.
No,
close, though.
Very close. I was just trying to do all that math in my head. I was like, wait, where am I?
Yeah, I'm terrible at math. But were we in math together? Or no, that was like me and someone.
No,
I'm terrible at math.
We were in science together.
We definitely were in science together. But that's I'm horrible at math, y'all. I've never been good at math. Anyway, how are you?
Jason, what's your temperature good. Check? My temperature check is good. You know, this weather has my allergies all over the place. But, you know, at the beginning of the new year, we're always, like, gassed up and trying to, like, feel good and set our goals and set our intentions for the year. Mm. So I am feeling good and ready to take on the year. I'm ready to talk to some more guests. I'm really excited about our podcast this year. I feel like, you know, at the beginning of last year, we were still doing it on our own. We weren't with Broadway World yet. So I'm ready to like keep expanding this and keep growing this with you and having a good time. I have 90 weddings this year. So I'm also gearing
up.
You
always have 90 weddings. How many friends do you have?
I guess 90. I guess I have
No, 90. But you already had 90, so you have another 90. So
now I have 900. If I had 90 last year, this year I have 900. So okay. I'm just, you know, mapping out my year, gearing up for a year of success, travel, good mental health, healthy living, being balanced, all of the things that we work toward. I'm going to go on a quick tangent. You know, I've been thinking a lot, and then I'm going to ask you how you are. I've been thinking a lot lately how being a successful artist or successful anything in that matter goes hand in hand with healthy mental health. How, especially for an artist, how can you thrive, survive, be successful in an industry that's so challenging if you're not taking proper care of your mental health? And it's just been coming up a lot recently in my life. So I do want to say, you know, 2023, if you need to talk about your mental health, it is okay, people. Therapy is great and is nothing to be ashamed of. Everybody goes, and I don't feel like we talk about it enough. So here I am preaching about mental health. That's where I am. How are you?
No, I just watched, I was telling you before, I watched the Aretha Franklin Respect movie yesterday, and I watched the Whitney Houston movie, because you know I love Whitney Houston, recently over this little hiatus. And, you know, those are both amazing, obviously iconic, legendary artists who both suffered from mental health issues. And, you know, I just think it's important, right, for, like you were just saying, for artists especially, to like, yes, get the help that you need, y'all. Like, it's okay, you know. And it's we are so vulnerable and so open, and we're so like, we give our all, we leave our all on the stage or on the sound stage or whatever you want to call it, you know, or on the canvas, whatever kind of art you do in the page. But you have to make sure that you're doing well. So I think that's very beautiful words you said. And I'm going to use your advice because I had like a little mini breakdown through text with you yesterday.
It literally wasn't even that. You were like, I'm so sorry. I was like, you said one thing and I love you.
No, it's just, you know, because I guess I had a very expansive December.
Let's talk about it.
Well, because Harry and Meghan, which was the docuseries I was working on all year last year that I couldn't talk about, came out in December. And then I randomly got that SNL gig.
Can I pause for 1 second? Can sure. you elaborate a little bit more? Because I was just saying to you, I feel like you downplay the things you do. The Harry and Meghan documentary is huge, iconic, like the biggest documentary of our times, Jason. And y'all, this guy had his own... I'm not saying he's been downplaying it to me all year, but I didn't realize what an important role you had in this until I watched the credits, and the credits were rolling, and it was like associate archival producer, Jason yeah. A. Coombs. Like, the dude had his own title in these credits, and that's huge. That was the correct title, right?
I'm
so proud of you, and that's amazing. Thank you. Congratulations on that. So I just wanted to take that moment to hype you up a little bit more because that documentary was incredible, and that position Thank was you. Incredible, and you did great work and firsthand experience knowing how hard you worked on that all year. So big.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Seriously. Yeah. It was wonderful that, see the response, and because it was so globally well known that people were watching it who didn't even know I worked on it, and we're talking about it, and we're like, oh wait, what, you did that? I watched it. And we're like, I'm watching that now, or I'm watching it again for the second time. And I don't know, it was wild, you know, because it was such a private thing between like me and my team that we couldn't talk about for literally a year. It was supposed to be 6 months, it got extended. And yeah, I mean, it's really cool. I'm very proud of it. Liz Garbus, the director, is amazing. And I hope everyone gives it a shot. You know, 6 episodes or like an hour each. But, you know, it's a very important story. And I think we went in with a lot of love and we wanted to tell the truth. And I think that we accomplished that. You know, we told a very genuine and honest and sincere story about this really wonderful couple and the struggles they faced. And so I'm really proud of it. And thank you. Thank you for acknowledging that. I appreciate it.
It was awesome. Okay. And then I cut you off when you said you randomly booked SNL.
Yeah. That's why I really couldn't process it was just a lot of stuff happening in December. Because like I randomly booked SNL, which is my message to everybody is to check your emails because I have a backstage account that I haven't accessed in 3 years. And someone emailed me, was like, hey, are you interested in doing this thing? And I was like, this is fake, what? But I did my research and it wasn't fake. And it became this huge skit that I was a part of called Big Boys. And we'll probably play it, right? We'll probably play it here.
Yeah, play it.
Winter snowstorm, when chill is biting, but his jacket's unzipped. He bring in my groceries in just one trip.
Hold on a minute, I am dead. I didn't know that's how you booked it.
Yeah, someone was like, wow. We're looking for big cuddly teddy bears. Can you text this number? And I was like, what? That sounds so weird. And I didn't respond for an hour. I was like, I'm in the middle of this other thing. It was in my last 2 days on Harry and Meghan. So I put it away for an hour. And then something was like, wait, Jason, it's SNL. Like, you should just double check that just in case, you know, you never know. And long story short, it was real. And then a really ironic thing was during the pandemic, I had a dream that was on SNL that was like on the soundstage. And I was like, I woke up from my dream and I was like, oh, I never thought about being on SNL before, but that'd be really cool. Like, and I was like, I'm going to put that on my virtual vision board that one day I'll be on SNL. And it wasn't actually on the actual stage. It was a digital short, but it was super cool. And I got to work with, like, you know, Cecily Strong And Kiki Palmer was the host, which was really fun. And I got to see Keenan. And, you know, Keenan's someone I've been watching. Right, we were talking about that a couple episodes ago. Yeah, you were saying Keenan and Kale. You know, but we were talking about, you know, Kel, or like, yeah, Kel on the French skit a couple episodes ago, you know, so like that was super fun to see these people that we grew up watching work, and it was very inspiring. It was a long day, 16 hours. I was dancing, whoa, y'all. I'm not a dancer, Samantha knows, because we were in dance group together. I was dancing. I was very scared. And it was dancing with SZA, who's like one of the biggest artists out right now. I literally almost had a panic attack when they were like, yeah, you're going to be dancing behind SZA. I was like, I don't dance.
You
I can
did
fake
such
acting.
A good job.
Thank you.
You were so lit. It was so good.
Thank
oh
you.
Oh my gosh. But the power of like manifestation also, you were just telling that story and I was crying. Like, oh my God. You literally had a dream and then your backstage account that's inactive just like all of a sudden was active. Like, that's wonderful. Okay. So you said all of this to say that you had everything was happening and then you were having a mini breakdown because now you're like, now what?
Yeah. So then. I went right into shooting this movie, this independent film that I worked on in December as well as an actor.
Yeah,
it was a very like busy, you know, year into this like really big finale of a year in December. And then I was like off for, you know, besides, you know, working on the podcast a little bit and doing my side work, I haven't been working. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I want more and more and more, but I don't have anything right now. And I was like, I guess this is kind of what, you know, bigger, more well-known artists go through when they have that high of like working, and then when the work stops, it's kind of like I don't know, I was kind of depressed to be honest, you know. And I was like texting you about that yesterday, and I was like, oh, I'm really feeling this. And also like this time of the year, because my birthday is at the end of January, it's always a transitional time between New Year's and my birthday, and I'm always kind of like feeling a little bit lost. So it's not an unusual thing, but I think just having that fun and that success and being able to like work in different capacities,
right,
and then not have that was a big change for me. But it's all good, you know, we're gonna do more. And
you
talked me right out of it
because it's just like
we have big plans for this year.
We have huge plans that we'll tell you about later once we figure it out and get some confirmations going. But Jason, that whole idea and theme that you were just talking about like being on a high and then on a low, really leads me into, I really want to talk a little bit about the Golden Globes, specifically
please,
Jennifer Coolidge's speech at the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
So by the way, obviously we all know Jennifer Coolidge, icon. We talked about her a little bit when we had Chad Hodge from Single All the Way. She was in that as well. Her speech last night, you know what? I love the Golden Globes so much because everybody is just drunk. You know, they're drinking champagne at the table. And these speeches are like iconic because, you know, people are drunk. And, you know, the creator of White Lotus literally got up.
Mike White.
Mike White. He was like, I was planning to do this speech in Italian, but I'm so drunk, he said. Like, it's his Golden Globes.
That's great.
Golden Globe speech. Yes. So Jennifer Coolidge, I'm not going to say it word for word because I can't remember, but she says something along the lines of like, you know, as a young person, I had so many hopes and dreams and plans, and I felt like essentially so good about it. But then, of course, you know, life fizzles it out. And then she was talking about Mike White and was like, but then he made me want to like come back alive. And like, there's so much more I can dream of and so much more I can accomplish in life I can live, right? And I love that so much because it is so true. And I've been feeling that a lot lately too. Like, damn, in my 20s, I was like, I'm going to book this TV show. I'm going to do this for my acting and this and this. And between the pandemic and life and, you know, being at a different point as an adult wanting like financial stability and stuff, your dreams sort of shift and change and like, the drive shifts, but then you always sort of come back to it. And it's always, I'll cry. It's always like surrounded by the people in your life who re-inspire you or re-hold you up. And my girl Mariska Hargitay says something like this too in one of her speeches, like surround yourself with the people who are going to hold you up and like keep you inspired. I don't remember exactly what it said.
Yeah.
But Jennifer Coolidge's speech like really stuck out to me. So if you guys can listen to it, listen to it. And also she says, she like thanks Ryan Murphy and I can't remember who else for like all the small jobs she had along the way. She's in her 60s and she just won a Golden Globe. And I don't know her statistics. I don't know if she's been nominated or won before. I didn't look it up. Sorry. But you know, it's like we're in our 30s. And you know, sometimes we're like, damn, we're in our 30s. We need to do more. Coolidge, Angela Bassett, and
Geraldine Ralph.
There was somebody else last night. I can't remember her name. She's in that movie that's like big and everyone's talking about it. All women in their 60s who are hitting this great success. Not to say their success wasn't valid or big earlier on, but these small jobs, your SNL gigs, your independent gigs, like these are gigs that are important that we need to like appreciate. And so my whole tangent right now is just to say, let's like accept where we are and like take it in and just try to always remember it's part of our journey and it's going to be all right.
Yeah, I love that. No, it's so true. And it's, you know, people always say, live in the moment. And that's like one of the hardest things, I think, especially for me. Like, I don't want to speak for other people, but I know it's hard for other people as well. But like to be like, okay, this is the moment. This is what has happened. I'm grateful for this. And yes, I have to worry about the next step, but like bask in it, you know? And I try to do that. You know, I try to do that. And I'm very appreciative and I'm thankful for you for reminding me of that and for that keeping me grounded, you know? Being the anchor, like I always say.
No.
Yeah.
It's a team effort, babe.
Yeah. Yeah. And can I just say one last thing?
No.
I always do that to you. But
and I always go SNL.
SNL aired on my mom's birthday, and that was so special because, you know, to have that moment, and like I didn't have lines, you know, I wasn't like giving, you know, I was very, very heavily featured, I will say. But to see how proud of me she was like the icing on the cake, and it was on her birthday.
Icing on her birthday cake.
Yeah, I know, right? And I've done a couple other, you know, I've had co-stars on other shows, but everyone watched SNL, you know, and that was just, you know, really special and really cool. So I'm trying to like, even though that's in the past technically, I'm still trying to just live it and enjoy
that's your
it.
Fuel.
And
yeah,
it's my fuel.
To the next.
Exactly.
And to the next, and to the next, until you're getting your Golden Globe.
Oh, we're getting our Golden Globes.
We're hosting the Golden Globes.
Yes. How fun is that?
Could happen.
It definitely could.
We have an amazing guest today.
Yeah.
Should we talk about her, or do we need to talk about Chippendales, or should we save that for the next time?
Just if you haven't watched Chippendales, watch it. We'll talk more about it next time. But our boy Robin, who was on episode 58, he has such an amazing part in the finale.
Whoo!
Oof. But we'll talk more about it.
Yes, we'll save week, it because Jason and I always do this. We're like, we're going to do a quick mic check. And then next thing we know,
I start blabbering.
And we're just like, you know, well, we haven't had an episode in a while, so we had to catch up. Yeah. But anyway, April Mathis. Oh my goodness. This was such a good episode and such a wonderful person to chat with. And I'm so happy she's our first episode back from the new year. She's so inspiring and so cool, you guys. I can't wait for you to listen to this. She is currently in the piano lesson on Broadway, which Jason and I are going to see next week. So we'll be sure to give you a full recap. We're sure it's going to be awesome. But Jason, yeah, you told me
something, which I can't remember off the top of my head. It's like the highest grossing August Wilson, right? Play in history already. How amazing is that?
Amazing.
Like, how freaking cool is that? And I was going to say everybody needs to come and watch and go see it if you can, because it's open until January 29th. So if you're in the New York City area, right? And you're January 29th.
Yeah, that's
go
correct.
See this play. Like Samuel Jackson, Daniel Brooks, April Mathis. Like, come on, y'all.
April Mathis.
Should we tell her? Tell everyone about her?
Yes. Cool. Go ahead.
I'm gonna look this way to read. So April Mathis is making her Broadway debut as Grace in the Piano Lesson. Some of her off-Broadway credits include Tony Stone at the Roundabout, which she won an Obie Award for.
Iconic.
iconic, that's so Broadway as you would say, Samantha. Most Happy in Concert, Help, Fairview, Lear, Aunt Leah, Pneumatica, Iowa, Signature plays The Funny House of a Negro at the Signature with Elevator Repair Service, Baldwin Buckley at Cambridge, Gats, Everyone's Fine with Virginia Woolf, Measure for Measure at the Public, The Sound and the Fury, Fondly, Colette Richland at New York Theater Workshop.
Boom. Some of her television and film credits include The Good Fight, Evil on Paramount Plus, New Amsterdam on NBC, and Fugitive Dreams. Jason, thank you for taking the long part of the bio today.
Yeah, that's a fierce bio, which fierce. I can barely read sometimes. So
enjoy the episode, guys. We're so happy to be back from our hiatus, and we're coming in hot.
Yeah, and thank you, April, for joining us. And she like listens to the podcast when she said that. I was like, oh my gosh.
I know. Isn't it funny? Every time somebody's like, oh my gosh, I listen to the podcast. We're like, what?
I know. I'm like, our little baby.
Our show. All right. All right, enjoy, y'all. Guys. Hi, April. Welcome to Survival Jobs, a podcast.
We're so happy to have you. We are our first
episode of 2023. Oh my God, I've been saying the first episode from our hiatus, but I actually didn't clock first episode of 2023. That's fun.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Happy New Year. How's it been so far? A little temperature check.
Good, good. Actually, like, good. I'm not going to touch anything. I'm not going to breathe too hard, but fair. Fine and nice.
Love it.
Fine and nice is good. You know, we're only a few days in, but let's hope we keep the fine and nice theme through the entirety of the year. Thank you. Thank you, universe. Listen to us. Fine and nice.
I will take that.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay.
So Samantha was telling me, which I didn't know this, April, that this is so exciting, that Piano Lesson has become the highest grossing August Wilson play in Broadway.
Yep.
That's so incredible.
Oh, iconic.
Yes, iconic. So how does it feel to like be part of that like kind of history right there?
It feels awesome. It feels like we're doing our jobs and like,
yes, you know,
people are getting to see the show, which is all we want. We just want people to come see the show because we're working hard. We're having a good time. And so it's nice that, you know, folks are getting in and folks I know are getting in and they're not paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars to get in. So
totally.
Whenever we, you know, meet that box office goal is great, but regular folks are getting in, so
good,
which is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So let's hope we see more of that.
Yeah, exactly. But let's before we jump too much into that, let's pivot back to survival jobs. This is the title of our show.
Yep.
Can you tell us? Can you define what a survival job is for you? Because I'm guessing you've probably had a couple.
It's maybe something that doesn't require a whole lot of your head and heart, but will bring in the ducats so that you can do where your head and heart is until those things align and what you love is paying you what it should.
Completely. Do you have a favorite survival job that you've had along your journey?
I will say that when I first moved here, I kind of fell into this teaching job at this place called IBEC, International Language School. IBEC doesn't stand for anything, but it was going to be like International Business Education School or college. I don't know, but like somehow that wasn't legal to actually name it that, so they just called it IBEC as if that were a word.
But I love that.
Yeah, I worked there for like a decade. And what was kind of perfect about it was you could set your own schedule. The classes were an hour and a half and with 15-minute breaks in between, like basically Monday through Saturday from like 9 to 9. And so anywhere within there, you could set your hours and they would just fill you slots with private and semi-private classes. So I'm actually an introvert. So I have never wanted to teach a big classroom. Like, okay, guys, today we're going to, like, So these were like basically conversation classes to business professionals. And it was run by this Japanese business owner. So he catered to mostly Japanese salarymen who would come here from Japanese subsidiaries and work in New York. And they would have their families here. So we would also teach housewives. Like, that's what these women would call themselves. And then we talked about, like, oh, I'm a homemaker, I'm a stay-at-home mom, you know, like, you know, because housewives seem like a dated term. But like, that was kind of like the best survival job I could possibly have, because it wasn't demeaning. It wasn't like grueling. I would just sit down and like help people with English. And a lot of times what they wanted to do is just have conversations with a native English speaker. So like we would have a lesson, but really they would want to talk, and like sometimes they would like confess stuff, because it's like you're learning another language, so you can kind of like say whatever you want and say what you
right
all the class, and I'm like a stranger, you know. So yeah, that was a great thing for like the first 10 years when I
And also that you can make your own schedule is so important to artists, so that you can work it around your auditions or class or whatever artistic task you have that week, you know, so you can survive and also be fulfilled or work towards your fulfillment. I love that. I love that job.
Yeah, it worked out great for a while. The only thing was like sometimes once they gave you the schedule, they expected you to stick to it. So I still have like, dreams sometimes that like there's a schedule, but then like an audition came up last minute. What do I do? You know, like, but sometimes you could get other teachers to switch with you and make it work. But that was the only thing that was like, I can't totally just have no responsibility, but it was, it was the better of the survival jobs ever.
Well, let's flip it and reverse it. Do you want to share one that was like kind of terrible that you would never want to go back to?
Yes.
And it's funny because I pass by it every day now on the way to.
Oh no, PTSD.
Ellen Stardust Diner.
I'm dead.
For 6 shifts. And on the 6th shift, because they were like, I had just moved here and they were like, you don't have any kitchen experience, you know, or you don't have any experience working with a computer, because the only waitressing job I'd had before that in Texas was at Pancho's Mexican Buffet. Do you know this?
I don't know. I feel like that name rings a bell. Jason and I worked in Tex-Mex for 6 years. Okay. So I feel like we heard Pancho's.
Well, they're famous for their sopapillas.
Oh, sopapillas.
What you would do is, like, as a customer, you would go through the buffet line and get your food. And then you'd go sit down in the restaurant. And then if you wanted something else from the buffet, you wouldn't go up and get it. You would raise a little flag at your table, and then a waiter or waitress would come and take your order and bring you more stuff, including your sopapillas, which were complimentary.
They were complimentary at our restaurant as well.
Yes.
It was, yes. Funny.
Love those things, and they would really want them. And so that was the only that was the only waitressing job I had had until I moved to New York. And New York's like really fast paced. And, you know, like,
hey, April, you're honest. You didn't say like, oh yeah, I have like a decade of experience working in restaurants in New York.
You can't, some things you can't lie about, or
I can't lie about,
because like you had to carry three plates on one arm. You know how people do in diners. It's like one is like on your bicep pretty much, and your forearm and like your wrist, and you're just like walking through the restaurant with three hot plates. And so of course this one drops them. And so the manager was like this weaselly, like jerky guy. And he was
sounds
like,
about right.
Yeah, he's like, she can't carry three plates. So, like, they were like, you're not ready to be paid like regular waitress, like have your own section yet. We're going to train you for six shifts. And I was like, wait, thank you. Just give me a chance. And so I sang like Crazy by Patsy Cline as my audition song. So, yeah. But like, you know, because they have like a karaoke background, and you're just singing. And the thing is, when the kitchen gets backed up, they're like, go out there and sing, entertain them. Like people are like waiting on their food. So they trained me for six shifts, and by the sixth shift, I was ready to like be on the floor and work. And that was like my worst day. There was a table, like, you know, a family, tourist family, it's dad's birthday or whatever. And you just watch them like waiting on their food. And you had to fight in the kitchen. Like the senior wait staff had priority, and like their food would come out first. And
wait, so what? That's just terrible.
Politics. And so like
that doesn't make any sense.
I would be like, is my number you know, yeah, it's coming. And like never would come. And so I finally like would bring out the kind of lukewarm food. And so this table, they loved me, but they were like, we know it's not you. And they'd like tipped me $20 but left. And so I was like, I'm not going to do better than this. I quit. And
wow,
I was like, I got a $20 tip. So that's probably about, I'm going to call it even and get out of this. And so I went back to the teaching thing because, you know, somebody had told me like, oh, you know, you can make $500 a night in tips. You know, why are
you
doing the teaching thing? And really, I should have done coat check, because that is where
Yeah, me and Sam did coat check too.
We did so many coat checks, and we were wrecking that cash, you know?
New Year's Eve, baby. Oh.
Yeah, the New Year's Eve coat check, nothing like it.
I would have been better at that, but I couldn't get into the coat check world. So
I was Samantha would have been your plug if you, well, sorry, this way. Samantha would have been your plug.
I wish I'd known you then.
Listen, but I would like to say, I don't think any, except for like maybe career servers, who is holding three plates on one arm?
Career servers.
Exactly. But the people who work at Ellen's are mostly not career servers. They're actors. Nobody's. I think it's changed because I have a friend. Yeah, I have a friend that works at Ellen's who sings and like talks to the tables and is not like busing or running the food. I think they've changed now. I'm sorry that happened, but it's a good story. It's a good story.
That was the worst. Now I see like people lined up and I'm like, are they going to see the Music Man? No, they're
going to
see Ellen. I'm like,
even at like 9 a.m, if I walk by there at 9 a.m, it is wrapped. I'm like, y'all, the food is not that good in there. It's really
boggles the mind. They're there for something. I don't know, but maybe the great singing in the atmosphere, and they like the one place where you can have singing white staff.
Yeah.
And they're like amazing singers. Yeah.
It's a touristy staple. So it's like in the Midwest. Yeah, they gotta go there.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, I feel like these days, all of these like places people go, it's all for the social media of it all. Like a lot of, you know, generations are like, look at me at Ellen's, look at the singers. Yeah. That's a great story. I'm sorry for the experience, but it makes for a great story, especially for this show. So thank you for sharing.
I lived those six shifts for this moment.
And we are so grateful for it. Okay.
Grateful for that. Yes. Yes.
Let's talk about something. Yeah. Yes. Six shifts. Exactly. Let's talk about something a little bit more positive. So you've made your Broadway debut in The Piano Lesson. Congratulations. Woo! Like, how iconic. Like, what an amazing show. What an all-star cast, including yourself. So can you tell us a little bit about the audition process? And then what did you feel when you got the call that, like, hello, you've booked it?
Audition process? I don't know her. It was an offer.
Yes!
Pretty great.
Yes,
that is so Broadway.
It's so Broadway.
So like, it actually came in 2019, and I think it might have had something to do with the last show that I did, which was Tony Stone at the Roundabout Theater. So I think people who were casting this must have seen that, and on the strength of my performance as Tony Stone, they were like, you know, we need a Grace. This one will work, and plug her in. So, yeah, that was great. And so we were supposed to do this in 2020. And I was supposed to meet Samuel L. Jackson on my birthday back in April 6th, 2020. But something happened.
What was that weird thing that happened?
So I got an email from Miss LaTanya Jackson Richardson that was like, we're going to postpone the, because it was going to be like a month-long workshop, and then we were going to do the production in the fall. And so it was like, we're postponing this workshop, and we will see. And I kind of knew that, like, the whole world wasn't going to get fixed by the fall.
People,
remember at the time, people were like, okay, well, so spring shows are off, but like, we're going to come back in the fall once this gets taken care of. And so, of course, that didn't happen. And later that year, I got a message that it had been pushed back to summer 2022. And I was like, that seems realistic. And, you know, I felt good about that. And so it ended up being pushed back further to fall 2022, but still, like, you know, it happened, which was great because all of 2021, like, I kind of didn't hear anything. So I was like, is that still happening? I don't know. But like, they knew what they were doing. And so we got, like, you know, new producing team, contracts we negotiated. And then I guess the call would be like in January of 2022, when my agent was like, it's back on, like, they're renegotiating the contracts. It's going to happen this fall. That was like, oh, yay. Like, it felt like it was the first thing that felt like picking back up from the pandemic. So,
right, because you probably felt like, wow, and as like a lot of artists did in the pandemic, like, will we ever have a platform again? Will we ever have a stage again? Will we ever be around people again? And then to come back to this is probably like unreal. I mean,
yeah, that's was really cool, especially like seeing when Broadway did come back in the fall of 2021, right? Seeing those shows come back, seeing friends and colleagues like have their Broadway debuts, have their plays, have Broadway debuts. That was really exciting. And, you know, I was like, okay, you know, it's happening. There's a model for doing this. I mean, but then Omicron hit and then like a lot of these shows closed and a lot of people got sick. And
yeah. Like,
how? And, but I think that experience taught us how to do this safely and sustainably. And so what's great about this show is that there's a whole team of understudies who have been called to go on and who are freaking champs and get in there and do the show and keep the rest of us sharp. The understudy for Grace got to go on when I got the vid finally. Outrunning it. You know, I'm Lady KN95 mask. Like, I just don't joke around. I'm not dining indoors. I, you know, like, I wedding, no thanks.
Yeah.
You know, I have a child and he does go to school and they do eat food in the cafeteria. And he's like, I'm eating under my mask and I'm eating next to the, you know, air filter. But, you know, like other kids are like, I'm sick. I don't feel good today, but they're fully at school. So, like, of course, he got it eventually this year and this Thanksgiving, and I got it. And so, but my understudy got to go on and like bring all her folks and like kill it. So, I think we haven't, that's another reason why I think we've been successful is we haven't had to cancel any show.
Yeah.
Would. Like, we have people that are ready to go in a couple different tracks, which I don't think was always the case when folks were first coming back to Broadway.
Right.
But like, yeah, we have great people, we have great coverage, and it's a great show.
What's your understudy's name? Let's give her a shout out.
Oh, that would be Sharina Martin.
Shout out Sharina.
Shout out to Sharina. We also, you know, understudies Bernice in case like the world are crazy and all three of us were out. But Shireen Babs has also gone on for Danielle Brooks and crushed it. So
shout out to the understudies.
Charles Browning has gone on. Warner Miller has gone on. Duran has gone on. Lovely folks.
I love that.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
And I want to say, before I go to the next question, congratulations on your Obie Award. That's super, super exciting. And that's probably why you got that offer. They're like, she ready. She good.
Oh, yeah. Well, up for Toni Stone.
Yeah, right?
Yes. Well, that was the second Obie Award that I got. Because I had gotten one 5 years ago as a sustained excellence of performance, which was great. And then got one for Toni Stone for that performance. So
that's amazing. Yeah,
it's been great to be recognized by them.
Congrats. Yeah. That's amazing.
That's fire.
The first time it was before all of this. And so it got to be in person and like, you know, yeah. I hung out. Leah Delaria hosted, you know, like it was
fun,
you know, like that was the year when I got my first, it was the year that like Hamilton and got the OG, wow. And like Lin-Manuel Miranda was there. And it was just,
it was
fun to like, celebrate with folks.
Yeah.
And Tony Stone was during like the shutdown awards season. So there were all these like virtual ceremonies and, you know, like there were a couple that were like, I was nominated for things. So I had to make an acceptance speech video in case I won.
Oh, geez.
I still have those. Those are fun.
It must be really weird to do that. Be like,
yeah, to like accept an award that you like might get. Like,
yeah, hey. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, in this moment, I have one. But
what a great way to manifest also.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what's cool about the OBs is like they just, there's no nomination. They're just like, here's something. We want to give you an OB.
Yeah.
So they're like, here, please make a video for this OB that you're
really gonna get. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, another amazing person is your director, LaTanya Richardson Jackson, who's making her Broadway directorial debut and is the first woman of color or first woman to ever direct an August Wilson play on Broadway.
Yes.
Wow. That's pretty iconic. So my question is, as a woman of color, being part of this iconic moment with LaTanya, breaking down all these walls and glass ceilings, what has that meant to you?
It's been really edifying and empowering in a way that just feels very comfortable. Like we didn't, I think the first day of rehearsals was like the big, huge meet and greet where like we all just had a moment to celebrate that this was happening, to celebrate that we were here, that we were here together, that we had all tested negative that day to be in the room. Like none of that was taken for granted.
Right.
And what she said that day was, I'm ready and you're ready. And that kind of just summed it up. It's like, you know, there's this filmmaker that I follow, Numa Perrier, and she like had a short premiere at Sundance, I believe, and then just kind of like her career took off from there. And people asked her like, how does it feel to like have this success? And she was like, it feels correct. And I'm like, that's how it feels to be directed by the first woman to direct August Wilson on Broadway. It feels correct. It feels normal.
And it should be normal. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I can't wait for the day when it just is, when we don't have to like ask how it feels for a woman to be directing you, when it's just part of it.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Can I ask a follow-up? I'm sorry, Sam, to cut you off.
Don't ever be sorry to me.
I was watching an interview on I Love The View, and I watched The View like all the time. And I remember, I forgot who was on, but they were talking about women directors versus male directors. And do you feel like there's a difference in how they approach and the comfortability of the work that you're doing with them?
I think it depends on the work. I mean, I think like male directors are different from each other. I think female identified directors are different from each other. I think directors of color are different than white directors. Like, yes, all of it. it's just each person's personality and like communication style. I will say with LaTanya being a woman, she really wanted the female characters in this play to take up space and to be fully three-dimensional, front of you, back of you, backstory, what's on the page, what's not on the page. You are coming as a full and present being. And she wanted that for Danielle as Bernice. She wanted that for me as Grace. She didn't want me to be just like the butt of a joke or like the floozy who comes in with one guy and leaves with his best friend. Like, she wanted me to have a life, a job, a story, a history, a last name, you know, like that was her task to me from the beginning. And I will tell you, she did the same thing with the two younger actors who play Maritha. She worked with them and she was like, when you enter the stage, this is your Broadway debut. I mean, I don't know if it's actually their Broadway debut because these ladies work, but like,
yeah.
She wanted them to come out and take up space and be fully in the scene. And I can't tell you how many of my friends are like, the little girls are great, you know, and, you know, they alternate which performances they do. But like, I've heard so many people talk about how great Maritha is. And it's, you know, because LaTanya wanted, these women to be present. And there were certain things that she said to the male actors that were like, you know, a woman doesn't want to hear that, you know, like, think about who you have in the room. Like, there's a scene that ends up being like a surprisingly romantic, sweet, seductive scene. And, you know, she's like, acknowledge that you get to be in this woman's presence, you know. I don't know if pick a male identified director would have seen it that way. I don't know, right. Maybe. But that was something that she brought to it.
That's amazing.
That, yeah.
She empowered them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Empowered them to own it. And that's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing everything. Everyone needs to go run and see this show. You have until January 29th. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So you still have time, people. Go get your tickets. Go run. Go support. Before we jump into our super fun game, okay. I just was wondering if you had any advice for any of our listeners who may be stuck in their survival jobs but are seeking and craving a life in the arts, but haven't had their moment yet and are going to their Ellen's job every day or a job that's not fulfilling them. What is your advice to them?
I would say honor and don't like dismiss or belittle the work that you have done. And I'd say seek out things that excite you. Things, if you feel like you don't have an aesthetic and you're like, I just want to be successful. Like, maybe think about what is it that I like? What kinds of shows do I like? There's a lot of ways to see theater cheaply. If theater is what we're talking about here, like, you know, there's TKTS, there's Today Takes, there's Rush Tickets. We have Rush Tickets. So it doesn't have to cost $100 a pop to go see the work that seems like it's interesting, and you don't have to like everything. You also don't have to like the thing that everybody is super hype about. You can be the one person who hated it. And if you feel that way, then trust that and follow the idiosyncratic things that you like and just trust yourself and the work that you seek will be attracted to you and you can build your own body of the kind of stuff that you really want to do.
Preach. I love that. Oof, that chills. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I'm like, yes, 2023, starting out with that inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Jason, you want to chat about the game?
Oh boy. Okay. So, April, since this is your Broadway debut, we wanted to do a little trivia game or a little true or false game. about other stars who have made their Broadway debuts. Did I say that right, Samantha?
Correct.
We'll tell you an actor and a show, and then you'll tell us if that was their Broadway debut or not. And it's only 5 or 6 questions.
True or false?
We'll see.
True or false? You can always ask a lifeline. We got you.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? What did they have in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Like 3.
Dial a Friend.
Phone Friends, whatever. I can't remember. I used to watch that show every week. Ask the audience.
Yes.
Or something.
Yeah. Phone a friend, ask the audience, and then ask the host. I don't know.
I think you did get like 2 answers that got taken away somehow. Like they made it like.
You know what? And also, it's okay if I get all of them wrong.
Correct, because it's just fun.
Yeah. We're still going to be your fans and want to hang out with you. So.
100%. All right. Jay, you want to kick it off?
Yeah, I'll do the first one. Okay. Queen Viola Davis. We stand Viola Davis on this podcast. Love. Made, true or false, Queen Viola Davis made her Broadway debut in Fences.
True.
No false.
Was it apparel?
7 guitars.
Oh, yeah, wouldn't have gotten it anyway.
Me neither. I would have said true for Fences.
I didn't. Yeah, me too. By the way, all these. Broadway debuts.
Yeah.
All of these answers are coming directly from an article found on Broadway World. So we're sticking to Broadway World. Yes. Just like Googling. Okay, next. Victoria Clark made her Broadway debut in Sunday in the Park with George.
True.
Correct!
True. Sheeta Rivera made her Broadway debut in Can Can.
True.
In May 1953. Wow. That's epic.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
Renee.
23.
I know. Oh my God.
What'd you say?
I was like, we're in 2023. That's like
1953, 2023. If we were good at math, we could do that real quick. But
yeah, I want to say
I'm not. 50 years, right?
Yes.
Thank you. Because I was like trying to count, and I'm like, I can't. Not today.
I just went like to 2000, and then 20 more of whatever this is.
Yes.
Thank you. To whatever this is. Okay, Renee Elise Goldsberry made her Broadway debut in The Lion King.
False.
It's true.
Okay.
According to Broadway World.
Great. I'll just look at your faces.
I know, we are giving answers. To the people watching the video, Jason and I always cheat.
That's why I'm laughing, because I'm like, you're trying to tell me this, Claire.
These are so hard. Samantha, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna take some off. These are like really hard. Okay. Norm Lewis made his Broadway debut in Ragtime.
False.
Correct!
It was Miss Saigon. Miss Saigon was his Broadway debut.
I mean, of course.
Duh. Okay, and last, Patti LuPone made her Broadway debut in The Three Sisters.
I have to get this right. True.
Yes!
Yes, true.
We didn't even cheat that time.
No.
Congratulations.
Samantha's also a Three Sisters veteran.
Thank you.
Woohoo.
Thank you so much.
Are you Masha?
Yes.
I love that show and that... Masha. This was so much fun, April.
Yeah, thank you so much, April.
You did a great job on the game. You did an amazing job.
Yes, I did. I did. It was tough, but my knowledge.
I think like looking at those answers now, I think we really need to fact check Renee Elise Goldsberry, because why did I put she made her Broadway debut in 2016? That is not true.
That's what threw me off.
Yeah.
April, before we go, can you share with your hopefully new fans listening your social media, where they can find you, website, all that good stuff?
Yes. I will say Instagram, at April Mathis is where I will tell folks about most things.
Yeah.
Facebook is like for my extended family, and like not much is on there. The occasional picture
Same.
Of my family. And I don't even know if folks still do Twitter. I keep Twitter because I have a little bit of a baseball world following from Tony Stone.
Ooh. But yes.
If you still do that, some stuff is on there, but most of
some stuff.
Yeah.
And if you are an April fan and just tuning into us for the first time, follow us at Survival Jobs Pod on Instagram and Twitter, on Facebook at Survival Jobs a Podcast, and shoot us an email at survivaljobspod@gmail.com. April, you're amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
You're bringing us back from our hiatus strong.
All right.
Yes.
Strong for
congratulations. Yeah,
yes.
And please get tickets, y'all.
Run
until yes. January 29th is the last day to get tickets.
Jason, isn't you that have... your birthday?
It's the day after my birthday.
But... Okay, fierce.
Happy future birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday month, babe. Okay, right, have a great Thank rest you. Of your run. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.